You just think we just, you know, whatever happens, we just shit another player. All right, and everything's going to be perfect. All of our fans think that. You all think that. That's what you write about.
You don't want to be here. There's a specific reason. Not really. You know, I think we did a poor job recruiting. If guys are coming in and immediately walking out the door because it was something different than what they thought it would be. We lied to them during recruiting, or we sold them on a dream that wasn't true.
Yeah, you know, right now we have the atmosphere of a JC softball game. You know, I mean, that's what we are, a JC softball team. As long as, you know, it's not whether you win or lose. It's like the team that wins is the one that has the most fun. You know, that crap like that. You know, all this stuff that's contaminated America, where they give every kid a trophy and they don't keep score in Little League anymore.
As we want to be a big, fast, dominating, aggressive, relentless football team that nobody in the SEC wants to play.
Now, that's also a second in the West, baby.
Yes, sir.
Hey, I don't like it. It's the only time we're ever getting excited about second. From now on, it's first, okay?
Winning the SEC probably is harder than winning the national championship. Do you know that?
So how about them fucking dogs?
Hey. Turn that damn jukebox on!
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.
Welcome in the latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. I go by SEC Mike on Twitter. And I'm joined, as always, by my cousin Shane, who goes by Big Orange Vols on Twitter. What are you up to, you big Tennessee homer?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Hey, happy Valentine's, brother. You having a good one over there?
Yeah, man. We did ours yesterday. So the little ones went over to mom's and took the old lady out on town. You know, did it nice. We went to a restaurant, then we went to a place to get some dessert. Seemed like a winner, you know. She had a good time, I had a good time. So I had a good Valentine's Day. Actually, this is probably the most effort I've put into this holiday in a long time, Mike. So, you know, it helps. There's no football on. There's, you know, it's just I'm having to make up for all the time that I've missed with her. You know? Yeah, here I'm doing a podcast about Valentine's Day. So maybe she's had enough of me.
When I reached out to you to do this show, you said, hey, shouldn't be no problem. It's only Valentine's Day. But thankfully, you know, you covered it there. You already wined and dined the missus. So yeah. Glad to not get you in trouble. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to be giving the fans a Monday update here.
I tell you, I went out there. We had a French, I think you call them crepes.
Mm-hmm.
Man, fancy pancakes, what I call them, because it was delicious, man. We did that, and then I ordered some Turkish coffee, and you know, I've always been kind of a Folgers man, you know, just it worked for my grandfather, it should work for me, and I don't know, man, them Turkish coffee people, they got it figured out, because that was probably the smoothest coffee I've ever had in my life. And I don't know, it took them a long time to make it, so I probably won't make it here at the house. But I would definitely recommend anybody that's looking for something a little different, that Turkish coffee, that's where it was at.
All right, well, hey, there you go. Not only getting SEC coverage, you're getting coffee advice. So how about that one?
You didn't see that one coming, did you?
You threw me for a loop there. I'm a bit stunned, but hey, buddy, we actually do got some college football stuff to get to. You ready? You ready to get to it?
Speaking of Turkish coffee, <I'm just kidding. laughs> Yeah, let's do it.
All right, so we like to pride ourselves as the SEC podcast that you know, really goes out of its way to hit on all the teams. So I got a fun little idea here we're going to get to in just a moment, but just, you know, a couple of news items real quick. Not a ton going around in the SEC, so that also is kind of why I wanted to come up with this idea to just have something to talk about. But before we get to that, Shane, just wanted to, you know, make a couple notes, like I said. And this one is a transfer portal update, because I think this is something that not enough people are kind of following and paying attention to. But I saw online here this weekend, as of this weekend, the last, you know, since I guess college football ended, probably goes back to actually when the season started, but we got over 1,000 players in the transfer portal, Shane, 1,074 as of this weekend. Right. And 299 have received scholarships, which is 28%. So that means 72% of the guys that have gone into the transfer portal do not have a scholarship offer on the other side of it.
Ooh.
And I just wanted to make that note, man, because that's something I don't think enough people are talking about. And, you know, the grass is not always greener on the other side. And, you know, I'm all for these guys being able to get into the portal and, you know, better their situations for whatever reason they may have to jump into the portal. But that's something to think about, man, because if you don't know, once you jump into that portal, you basically give up the right to return to the school that you're leaving. Now, you still can, but once you jump into that portal, the school is no longer obligated to take you. So if you jump in there and you don't have an offer, you just, you know, for the rest of your college career, you don't have a scholarship. So yeah, I just hate to see that. You know what?
Yeah, I mean, because it isn't always a Cinderella story. It isn't, you know, hey, I'm leaving Georgia to go play for Ohio State as a quarterback. You know, that's the portal stories you remember. The ones you don't hear, some of them probably could be sad. And it wouldn't surprise me if some of these kids, like you said, hit the portal, find out the grass isn't greener, try to come back and maybe lose a scholarship. Not saying that that has happened, but it wouldn't blow my mind. I am curious, though, with this portal talk. I'm just out of the 1,000 that are in there, I wonder how many of those are unscholarshiped players to begin with, though.
Yeah, now that I don't have the numbers for, but that is a good point, because walk-ons I've seen in the portal, and but I don't think it's...
My favorite, Mike, is walk-ons going online to let them know, everybody, that he's going to be announcing Friday at his gym, you know? Sorry.
There's probably aren't going to be some walk-ons in the portal among that number, but definitely not 72%, which is what we're looking at right now, which just sucks to be one of those guys. You know what?
Yeah, yeah. And again, you hope for the best. You know, I mean, the portal shouldn't just because you ain't playing. I hate to imagine that's what they're all there for. I'm sure there's a lot of good reasons some of these kids are in it. But also, I think you're right. There's some that aren't. And maybe it should get some more airtime, because you talk about, you know, some of these kids trying to leave early to go to the NFL draft. They've got these seeds planted in their mind that they're going to go early. They're going to make millions of dollars. Next thing you know, they're going undrafted. You know, those are the stories that you're starting to hear a little bit more about, a little more transparency with the draft, which is good, because you want these kids making great decisions. Same thing with the portal. You always hear the good stories, but you don't really hear the bad ones. And maybe we should do some more uncovering there and see where some of these kids are going and how many of them are not graduating. I mean, think about it. The big thing about some of these Division I universities, the SEC schools, that, you know, they strive to get these kids a degree, which is the ultimate goal, because not all of them get the opportunity to go to the draft. But if they can walk away with a degree somewhere, you know, maybe they can land a respectful job, you know?
Mm-hmm. All right, Shane, next thing, real quick, let's jump on down to old Rocky Top. Where we still don't have a defensive coordinator. Although,
don't need him, Mike, because we're scoring points. You know, I wouldn't want that job either. So many points. I mean, somebody asked me the other day, they're asking me about this coordinator situation. And you know what? I don't care, Mike, because when it boils down to it, you really don't know what you're going to get. There was a tweet going around talking about Bob Shoop, you know. Remember how exciting it was, a home run hire?
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't wait, man. That was the only piece that we needed to not, you know, to get to the back to the SEC championship game. And man, was I wrong. When I saw the defensive lineman lining 3 feet off the line of scrimmage, I was like, wait a minute, is this the guy? Or do we get his brother? I don't know, you know. So, you know, as far as defensive coordinator, whoever we get, that's fine. I'm not losing sleep over this, because I'm telling you, it's not an easy gig. You got a new coach coming to the SEC that runs a play every 3 seconds. Do you know how hard that's going to be on a defensive coordinator? It's going to be almost impossible. So we'll get to the rumor mill here in a second. People were asking me what I thought about it. I don't care because, again, it's all about the offense right now. And as long as it's humming, we're going to plug and play some defense. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, and I'm glad you talked about that offense because I've gone back. I've started watching UCF games from Josh Heupel's time just to get an idea of what Tennessee is going to look like. And I've also gone back and started watching this graduate transfer quarterback they've landed, Hendon Hooker. And mm-hmm. I'm going to make a prediction right now, Shane. I think Hendon Hooker is going to start for Tennessee next season. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that has to do with just how damn fast this offense is going to go. And that's nothing against Harrison Bailey or the incoming quarterback, Caden Salter. But I think they're going to want someone that is very experienced in the college ranks, someone that can get this offense up and running, someone that's got that dual threat capability. So I look for Hendon Hooker to start next year. He may not be the guy the entire way through, but he looks like a solid option. And, man, it is a blur. I mean, it's by the time the tackle's getting made, it seems like the offensive linemen are running to get to the line of scrimmage to take the next snap. It's that quick, and it's going to remain the same offense. This is what I really wanted to talk about with Tennessee. They've hired basically his entire offensive staff from UCF. They're bringing Alex Golish. Mm-hmm. He's going to be the tight ends / offensive coordinator, even though Josh Heupel's calling the plays. Joey Hazel, that's the quarterback's coach. Glenn Ellerby, offensive line coach. And Cody Burns, formerly of Auburn, is the receiver's coach. And they've also went out and got a guy by the name of Jerry Mack to be the running back's coach. So this is a heavy UCF look to Tennessee's offensive staff. And then on defense, they don't have a coordinator yet, Shane, but they have hired Rodney Gardner. And, of course, SEC fans know that name. Longtime Auburn defensive line coach. He was at Georgia previously and at Tennessee. I went and looked up his history, Shane. He signed 9 5-stars, 55 4-star prospects during his coaching career. And that's got to be all the guys I mentioned. None of them are big names except for Rodney Gardner. So it's kind of interesting how Tennessee's made one defensive hire, and it's basically the only marquee name here on the staff. You know what?
Just a recruiter, baby. We need some recruiting going on. So I thought it's funny because it, like you said, it felt like every time that there was a hire, it was somebody else from UCF. You know, I thought there for a second Smokey needed to hide because we're going to have Golden Knight there on the sideline or something. Steal their mascot while we're down there. But, no, I'm really pumped about the Gardner hire because I am familiar with him. A lot of Vol fans are familiar with him. And like you said, he has brought a lot of talent to Georgia and to Tennessee. So definitely excited about that hire.
All right, Shane, enough spieling here about the Vols. You ready to get to the show topic here? And keep in mind, Shane's got no idea what I'm about to throw at him here.
That's right. Let's do it.
Now let's go around the league.
My daughters said something about me wearing a visor and need to put on a hat because I'm getting bald. So I'm going to wear a hat from here on out.
I mean, if you look over the next 6 years, I think we played Miami 3 times, Florida State 6 times, South Florida 3 times, Mississippi State 1. So who's the SEC teams? You know, I mean, I think it's an injustice for the kids. We should mix those games up, and you should, play more teams from the West.
Why don't you start calling around and see if you can get somebody else to play us, and we'll play them. We'll play anybody you can get to play us.
At Louisiana, hold on a second.
Hey, guys! Hey, I'm having a press conference, okay? Thank you.
All right, Shane, so, you know, I kind of been throwing this idea in the back of my head as soon as they came out with the 2021 SEC football schedule. And like I said, we like to hit on all the teams. So I've got a list here of 15 games.
Okay.
That I am most fired up about on the schedule next season that are non-annual games that we're getting next season. So most of these, you know, it's a mix of non-conference games because, you know, they're obviously unusual, but I'm also throwing in SEC games that are basically non-divisional games and non-crossover games. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, a whole bunch of asterisks there. Got it. You're going to get so many people mad at you. Like, how could you leave the Iron Bowl off? I can hear it now.
Exactly. Anybody can pick the Iron Bowl. Anybody can pick Florida, Georgia, or Florida, LSU, or on and on and on. So not talking about those games. But these are the 15 that rarely get. These are the 15 I'm most excited about. You ready for it?
Let's do it.
All right, first one on the list, Shane. Number 15, Vanderbilt.
Take it down.
At Colorado State. That's this is going to be week two of the season. Vanderbilt opens at home against ETSU, so you got to assume they're going to win there. So this will be the first real test of the Clark Lea era. And we're going on the road, which is interesting that Vanderbilt's going on the road to Colorado State. But I remember a couple of years ago, Arkansas went on the road to Colorado State and lost. So this is I know it's a G5 program, but it's a respectable G5 program. And they've spent a lot of money on their stadium. They've got a really nice stadium, one of the nicest that's outside the Power 5 level. So, you know, a lot on the line here for the Commodores because you want to go into that. You want to head into the SEC with a ton of momentum. So I really want to see what they're going to do week two on the road against Colorado State. And as strange as it sounds, it could be kind of like a statement win here for Vanderbilt and Clark Lea. What are your thoughts on that game?
Week two. I like it. You know, I haven't given Colorado State a lot of thought since that's Mike Bobo, wasn't it?
Yes,
Mike
sir.
Bobo up there, and then Preston Williams, all
yep.
them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that, I mean, since then, I have not followed Colorado State, so I don't know what kind of ball club we're gonna what to expect. I mean, do we got an experienced ball club, or is this kind of a rebuild situation? Or
I think it's a total rebuild here.
Okay,
and they've got I believe the head coach is Steve Adazio, who was Urban Meyer's assistant at the Gators. And then he took over Boston College. He didn't do too well there. Now he's at Colorado State. So he's an experienced coach himself. So, I mean, Vanderbilt, I think, certainly could and should win this game. But, you know, we got to see what this Clark Lea era, you know, what he brings and how much of an uphill climb it is for the Commodores. You know what?
No, well, it's good. It's a good early test. I mean, that's not a pushover. Vanderbilt's going to have their hands full. And it's going to be there. Is this a home-and-home situation?
Yeah, so I think next season they're going to make the return trip. But it is interesting that they go into Colorado State first time, you know, the first year of it, you know?
Yeah, you got to watch that altitude up there, Mike. Can't prepare for that.
We're going to – if this is Gary Danielson, he's going to be mentioning that to no end, you know what?
I know.
All right, number 14 on my list, Shane. Mississippi State at Memphis. So this is another unusual game, and Mississippi State's got a really underrated non-conference schedule. They open at home against Louisiana Tech, old Skip Holtz's team.
Yep.
They got NC State week two. So these are some tricky openers, but I circled this Memphis game for two reasons, because it's on the road and because Memphis – is very close to Starkville, Mississippi, or, you know, relatively close to Starkville. It's closer to Oxford, but Mississippi State certainly recruits Memphis heavily, and we all know the chip on the shoulder of the Memphis program. They think they're as good as some of these SEC teams, and we've seen them beat Ole Miss. You know, it was several years ago now, but, I mean, they've competed with SEC programs, so I think a lot on the line here for Mississippi State. They certainly should be favored in this one, should win the game, but that's kind of why I got this one. Just it being on the road, Memphis, so much on the line before going into SEC play. So thoughts on that game, Shane? Mississippi State at Memphis.
Well, I think it's huge, man, and it's at Memphis. I think because you when you think of Mississippi State and Ole Miss, you think about the border, you know, protecting the state of Mississippi, and then it's like, okay, how much talent can you get out of Memphis? Mm-hmm. That's a pipeline for both those schools, and it's just an excellent opportunity to go in there and showcase what you're doing because, you know, the Pirate, you know, a lot of people had problems with the first year of his offense. If you look back, his first years, he's always struggled, but the second, he really got to shine. So this is a great game, an early tune-up to kind of showcase what Mississippi State's all about. So not to mention just the pipeline of recruiting, like you said, mm-hmm. getting up there and maybe, you know, going to some living rooms before you go out there Saturday. I think that's a huge, huge hit for them.
Yeah, in a program like Memphis, they don't get an SEC team into their stadium very often. So, you know, what few fans they may have at those games, they're going to be fired up for this one.
Yeah. And you don't want to lose to them. I mean, you think about Ole Miss losing to them a few years back. It was an embarrassing loss that they should have won. So you definitely can't start off with a sour note. And Memphis has that capability. Mm-hmm. I mean, you look at their track record. They've always had. It seems like they've always been able to pull off a couple upsets. So you can't go in with that. You got to go in with a statement win here.
All right, so now I'm jumping into an SEC game, but again, this is a non-annual SEC game. I think this one's pretty interesting, Shane. Number 13 on my list, LSU
Go Tigers.
At Kentucky. And this is in the middle of the season, but, you know, these
Bluegrass
teams.
Bluegrass miracle.
Exactly. So we get another edition of that.
Every time yeah.
And these teams don't play each other annually. LSU and Kentucky both returning a lot of production from last season. I know Kentucky, new offense, new quarterback, and they've added some transfers as well. But I think this could be a really interesting one. And you know, this is one where if you're LSU, fans are going to expect to win this game.
Yeah.
And that's just the reality of it. But that doesn't mean it's going to happen. And for Kentucky, you know, the flip side, you're going to be an underdog at home, and these are the games that Mark Stoops and company need to win so that they can stop, so other programs, you know, stop thinking it's an automatic W when they go to Lexington to play. So
right.
I think a lot on the line for both of these teams.
What week is this again?
This will be week 6 of the season, so right in the middle of the season here.
Okay. All right. Yeah, so no creeping up on this one. So this is a classic trap game, it feels like, you know. Mm-hmm. Who does LSU got before and after Kentucky?
This is perfect here, Shane. It's a sandwich game. LSU host Auburn the week before,
mm-hmm.
and then the week after they host Florida.
Buddy, it just feels like one of those you could get caught looking ahead, and next thing you know, because you think of this game, the first thing you think of is the Bluegrass Miracle. So I don't think they'll need a miracle to make this a ball game. Kentucky's going to have a hell of a ball club next year, and I don't know. I'm feeling like this is going to be a tough ball game at this point, you know.
Mm-hmm. All right, number 12, Shane. I think you'll like this one. Pitt at Tennessee.
Balls are back. Before long, we'll be taking a bite out of everybody we play's ass.
Mm.
This is week 2 of the season, and I don't know about you, Shane, but it seems like every time we get a first-year coach at Tennessee, he's always got, you know, one marquee non-conference opponent, and it's basically half the fan base judges them on whether they win or lose the game. And this was going to be in Neyland Stadium. You know, Pitt, I think, is a decent
Johnny Majors special here.
There you go, the Johnny Majors Bowl. I think they're going to wear decals, I read, for Johnny Majors, both teams.
Oh, good.
For this good matchup, but you know, this is one where, like, I kind of joke about it, but not really. I mean, Josh Heupel stands to basically lose some fans, I think, if they lose this game. And people on the fence about him, he's got a chance to win those people, I think, immediately,
mm-hmm.
you know, by putting a hurt on Pitt. So what are your thoughts on this matchup, Pittsburgh at Tennessee, week 2 of the season?
Yeah, this, again, like you said, because you've got a lot of fans out there, myself included, that aren't 100% sold on Heupel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we would love to jump on the hot train. Now, I know when the season gets here, we're probably going to change your attitudes a little bit. But like you said, it is also one of those games that you're sitting there week 2 and you could be saying, oh, shit, here we go again, you know.
Yeah.
So that's not what we want. We want to come out here. We want to see, again, just not dominance, but you want to see a comfortable victory. You don't want to see this thing get down to the fourth quarter and be like, damn, if we can't beat Pitt, there's no way we're going to beat an SEC team. So I think it's just a good gauge factor, because Pitt's one of those ball clubs, a lot like Memphis, that, you know, they can sneak up and beat anybody. So I don't know what they're going to have roster-wise. I don't know if it's a good Pitt or a bad Pitt, but, you know, they find ways to get players in the NFL every single year. So talent shouldn't be an issue.
Right, and here's the games sandwiched between that Pitt game for Tennessee. They open against Bowling Green, Tennessee Tech at home the next game. So that's another reason I'm circling this Pitt game, because if Tennessee finds a way, you got to think they're going to be 3-0 heading into Josh Heupel's first SEC game at Florida. So a lot on the line here, I think, for Tennessee's first-year coach. The podcast is also sponsored by Justin Hamilton over at the federalsavingsbank.com. Head on over there. Talk to Justin. Make sure you let him know the guys over at That SEC Podcast sent you. There's no better time than now to refinance or buy a home with interest rates lower than ever. Hit up our guy Justin over at the Federal Savings Bank. And this is a guy that actually saved Cousin Joe over $400 a month on his mortgage. If you got any questions at all about Justin Hamilton and what he can do for you at the Federal Savings Bank, he's licensed in all 50 states to help you out. Reach out to us. More than happy to answer any question you got. We've also put a link to Justin's website at thefederalsavingsbank.com in the show notes. So head on down there. Reach out to Justin if you're looking to buy a home or refinance your home. And again, make sure to tell him the guys from That SEC Podcast sent you. He'll hook you up. All right, number 11 on the list, Shane. How about this? This is an interesting game. Texas A&M
Giga Maggots
at Colorado. And they've moved this game. It's not in Colorado's home stadium. They've actually moved it to the Denver Broncos stadium. So it's going to be played in Denver. The Aggies, this is going to be their second game of the year. And we got to figure out what we got on offense without Kellen Mond. I know we got some studs at running back. We still got Jalen Wattemeyer at tight end. But we've lost some offensive linemen. So a little bit of a trap game, I would think, for Texas A&M. I still think they're going to be, you know, one of the higher-ranked teams in the SEC. Certainly don't think they're going to lose to Colorado, but this is one of those where it's a little tricky being on the road, and it's going to be, like I said, neutral site, even though I would imagine there's going to be more Colorado fans just with it being so close to their stadium. But it's not often we get to see an SEC team in an NFL stadium outside of Mercedes-Benz down there in Atlanta. So, and this one is kind of intriguing to me.
Yeah. Have these guys ever played? You know, this feels like an odd matchup. I'm going to get on here and just
see. I think they used to be Big 12 rivals.
No, 6-3. They've only played 9 times.
Oh, okay.
Well, and A&M is currently losing, so we're going to have to bounce back from that. Okay, so they played in 2009, Boulder, Colorado, 35-34. Mm-hmm. So that was a hell of a game. So, there's going to be a couple Aggie fans that remember them well. I mean, we're talking 11 years ago. They went back to back. So College Station, they won. Then they went to Colorado and they lost. So this was a close matchup back then. So now I don't think it's going to be a close matchup this time. But I just think that again, similar to some of these other games that we've talked about, this is not a tune-up game. I hate, because I find myself keep saying that, because I don't think it's going to be a tune-up game. But I think it's going to be a game where we're going to find some added depth here that we're going to be able to really stretch and play on both sides of the ball and figure out what we're working with, because A&M is going to have a lot of question marks coming into the season, and those positions need to be filled up by this game. At the end of this game, we should know what we're dealing with going into SEC play.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're getting into the top 10, Shane. I'm sticking with Texas A&M. Texas A&M
Gigamax
at Missouri.
M-I-Z-Z-O-U.
Which is this will be the same week as LSU Kentucky, so it's 6th, 7th week in the season here, smack dab in the middle. But I like this game for a couple of reasons. I think this probably, instead of Texas A&M South Carolina, it probably should be Texas A&M and Missouri that play every year. Mm-hmm. If we're being honest, you know, former Big 12 teams here and a little bit of a history there and two rising programs, Eli Drinkwitz, Jimbo Fisher. I think this has got the makings of a sneaky good game, and it's in Columbia too, which going to help the Tigers. Thoughts on this matchup, Texas A&M at Missouri?
I like it, and for a couple of reasons. You know, it always feels like Jimbo has a handful of games that he's not prepared for. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You think about some games in the past that shouldn't have been ball games, maybe even some losses that they took. It just feels like there's always that little sneaky trap game. And, you know, they did a lot. They did – don't get me wrong. Last year was a fantastic – I mean, you cut out that Bama game and – you know, I thought they should have been in the college football playoffs. But, you know, Mizzou, on the other hand, with what they dealt with corona-wise and the numbers-wise, had a fantastic – I mean, I would almost say an epic season. I think Eli was probably a game or two away from being, I would say, one of the best coaches last year, like surprise coaches of 2020. So mm-hmm. I say that to say this, if you know, they don't have the number issue and Eli has shown us anything the first year in the SEC is that he's able to go toe to toe with just about anybody. And he's able to game plan a game script and make his boys just as competitive in every ball game. It seems like they went in, that makes you feel good. And, I really like this team. I think Mizzou's going to be a sneaky ball club next year. And this is one of those games that wouldn't blow my mind, similar to that LSU victory they had last year, that they sneak up and maybe catch A&M off guard.
All right, here the games are getting really good, Shay. Number 9 on my list, Auburn.
A war damn eagle.
At Penn State, week 3 of the season. And Auburn opens against Akron and Alabama State. So you got to figure they're going to be 2-0 headed up to Penn State. And again, I bet there's some Auburn fans, you know, for the most part, I think they're all in on Brian Harsin. But I think, you know, a little bit similar to the Josh Heupel with Tennessee. I mean, I think this is his real chance to get some high-level buy-in from the Auburn fan base. You go on the road. Penn State's been I know they struggled last year, but beyond that, they've been, you know, very solid under James Franklin. And we're getting back to these home-and-home matchups, which is even better. That's certainly why this game's in my top 10. But thoughts on that matchup, Shane? Auburn at Penn State, week 3 of the season.
James Franklin could get fired after this thing, Mike, you know? you know, I never liked that guy. And, you know, I came around there for a minute because I was like, well, he could be our next coach. But now that door has completely shut, I'm back out on James Franklin. And honestly, this is a game that Auburn would love to have early. This is a signature win and a new coaching regime. This could be a big one for them. And you've got a questionable Penn State staff and team here. So who knows? You may be able to catch this one off guard. And if you do that, I think that's just a huge win for the Plains there.
Mm-hmm. All right, number 8, Shane, you're really going to love this one. Ole Miss.
Hotty-totty, Ole Miss.
At Tennessee, Lane train coming back to Neyland Stadium. This is October 16th, so right in the middle of the season. I believe that's week 7. But so many storylines here. And now that we know it's, you know, the Lane Kiffin offense versus Josh Heupel, I mean, hell, there's probably going to be 100 points scored in this bad boy. This is going to be – it was already going to be an entertaining matchup, but – it's going to be ratcheted up to another level. So how fired up are you for Ole Miss at Tennessee?
Super fired up, Mike. I mean, obviously me and Lane shared a little bit of a bromance this offseason as I was trying to recruit him up here. That did not work. But my last tweet to Mr. Lane Kiffin was, I wish him nothing but the best, except for when we play in Knoxville this year. And I just, you know, we've got the hype train. And again, I'm doing everything I can to get on board with this thing. And, you know, I don't think he's lost to Lane Kiffin. So that's a good sign. That's a good start right there. So I'm with you. I think there's going to be a lot of fireworks. I think there's going to be a lot of offense in this game. And the cool thing is you got a coach that knows what to expect. I mean, this isn't his first rodeo against Lane Kiffin. So if anything, he may have a slight advantage of some over these SEC coaches.
Yeah, and Lane Kiffin's a sharp enough guy. He knows, you know, the Tennessee fans, a lot of them are calling for his hire. So you got to feel like he's going to troll them or do something. Hell, he may even wear an orange tie to this game just to mess with them.
Oh, you know he will.
He's going to do something. And I don't know what it is, but I just can't wait to see what he does when he comes with his Ole Miss squad into Neyland Stadium. All right, number 7 on my list, Shane. Neutral site game. Alabama.
Roll Tide!
Versus Miami. Season opener in Atlanta. We talked about this one a little bit here, but you know, Miami's returning quite a bit. Alabama's replacing quite a bit. But, hell, we all know who's going to be favored in this matchup. But Miami could be bringing everybody. Alabama could have lost everybody. The Crimson Tide are still going to be favored to start the season 1-0 September 4th here. But thoughts on this matchup, Shane, and making the top 7 here?
This is going to be a good one. And probably by the time we get here, probably one of the most anticipated games because, you know, it's just a clash of you think of great programs, you know, just dominant football teams. You think of obviously Alabama here recently. You think of the USC's of the past, Miami runs, you know, in the 2000s. This has just got all the right pieces, all the right makings for a great game. I don't think it's going to be competitive. Mike, I'm going to go ahead and go on the record there. I wish we could go ahead and put money on this thing because I think Alabama's going to blow them out of the water. But it's the buildup, I think, is going to be fantastic to this one. So there'll be a lot of anticipation for this game.
Mm-hmm. All right, number 6 on my list, Shane. This should be a great one. Texas, under Steve Sarkisian, new coach here, at Arkansas.
Woo pig.
Week 2 of the season here. Year 2 of the Sam Pittman era. And here's a chance for Sam Pittman and company to get the biggest win they've gotten since they arrived in Fayetteville, the old Southwest Classic here. But, man, this is one I'm dying to see. Texas at Arkansas. And thank God we got some home-and-home games here.
Absolutely. And these teams hate each other. That's, you know, you talk about games where they don't play that often. These guys don't play that often now. And they absolutely hate each other. When this thing came out, I've never seen so many horns down pictures in my life. So I'm pumped up. This will be a huge one for Sam. You know Steve's going to be bringing it. Any chance he has an opportunity to get an SEC win, he's going to try and do that. But, yeah, this is going to be an absolute bloodbath, and I'm all for it.
Yeah, and remember the old borderline erotic quote from Brett Bielema, that was after beating Texas. So, I mean, it's like you said, he was playing to the fan base there. He knows Razorbacks hate the Longhorns.
Oh, yeah.
All right, number 5 on my list, Shane. Normally, this game would not rank this high, but all the drama in the last month or so, I had to put it in the top 5. Auburn at South Carolina. I don't even know if Mike Bobo's going to leave his stadium alive here. You know what I mean? These fans are going to be out for him. Brian Harsin's been raiding the South Carolina staff left and right. South Carolina's, you know, glad those guys are gone. But I think this is going to be a game where, like I said, normal year, it'd still be a great game because it's an SEC game. But next to last game of the season, and particularly if Auburn has a poor season and South Carolina has a better-than-expected season, I think Williams-Bryce is going to be rocking for this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh, Tracy Rocker's coming in to do the honorary coin flip, I've heard. So, oh, man, these guys don't like each other. They don't play each other that often, but the way this thing – this is the makings of a bad family reunion. So I'm ready for this because there's going to be some chippy play, man. There's going to be a lot of fighting online. This is one of those that's going to be ugly by the time it's kickoff.
All right, number 4, Shane. This is incredible that this game is number 4, but that's going to give you an indication of the games we got here. Alabama.
Roll Tide!
At Florida. week three of the season, Florida opens with Florida Atlantic and at South Florida. So you got to figure the Gators are going to be 2-0. We know Alabama's likely going to be 2-0. So this is going to be a battle of undefeateds here in the swamp. Dan Mullen, Nick Saban. What more could you ask for from an SEC matchup here? But this should be one hell of a game. And it's a good thing that it's at Florida. Give them a little bit of home field advantage for the toughest test in the SEC facing Alabama. Thoughts on this game, Alabama at Florida?
Yeah, well, Dan would like the do-over there from the SEC championship. He thought he was a couple plays away from dethroning the Crimson Tide, and he's going to have an opportunity early to kind of repeat this thing. Obviously, we got new players, and it's going to be a whole different ball game, but this is, I don't know, man. This could very well be a glimpse of the next SEC championship. I mean, we may be talking about that. I know Georgia's in play, and there's a lot of West teams that are, gunning for that spot. But who knows? This is one of those that, it could be a repeat. This could be a hell of a ball game. Yeah, just the two best teams, man.
Just imagine, because I'm going to – safe to assume Alabama's going to be the favorite in this game. But if Florida finds a way to get it done,
mm-hmm.
I mean, they're going to be favored the rest of the way, like you're saying. I mean, I don't care who's on the schedule.
Yeah.
Because that's just the power of beating Alabama and how much momentum you can get off a game like that. You know what?
Absolutely.
All right, top three, Shane. This game would rank higher, but everybody knows by now how we feel about these neutral site games. I'd rather this be home and home. Georgia.
Sick 'em.
Versus Clemson in the season opener in Charlotte. I mean, what can't be said about this game? This may be preseason number one versus preseason number two. A lot on the line. Clemson is returning, if I'm not mistaken, their entire starting defense. Every single player that started last year's back. And we know Georgia's going to be loaded on that side of the ball. And I know Clemson's got a new quarterback, but hell, he was number one in the country, five-star. Georgia's returning JT Daniels. I mean, this has got the makings of being just an epic showdown here. Could be a college football playoff preview.
Yeah, it kind of makes me wonder who you got in the first spot, because this would be my number one circled right now for a couple of reasons. One, it's going to shut up Clemson forever. If Georgia comes out and does what they're supposed to and just mops these guys up and down the field, then we don't have to hear that, well, Clemson belongs in there, just kind of has that Notre Dame feel just sitting out there that they belong, they don't have sunshine anymore. And this may be the start. That's the thing about Clemson. Clemson has had a run. But I think, unlike Alabama, I feel like they're at the end of theirs. I think they're on the verge of losing and not being fun and sexy anymore and just going away. That's huge for all teams in the SEC, because think of how many recruits Georgia had lost to Clemson. Think of how many recruits some of these other programs have lost to Clemson. We need them to suck again. Mm-hmm. So you do that by coming out here on a national stage. Yes, it's on a neutral site field, but man, this is a perfect opportunity to show the SEC, show the country how powerful the SEC is, and how, so we're not doing this song and dance and then sneaking these guys into a college football playoffs later down the road. We don't do that. You can end all conversations in this game. So, I'm really looking forward to this one. Number one on my list.
Shane, I always know the fans are really going to have an issue with one of my rankings when you have issue with the rankings. It's like, it's a preview of the backlash I'm about to get. But look who I got here, one and two. Maybe you'll understand it. Big part of that is, if this Georgia-Clemson was a home and home, I'd have a lot more respect for this matchup. Uh-huh. But number two on the list, Shane, Liberty at Ole Miss.
Howdy-toddy, Ole Miss.
Hugh Freeze returning to Oxford to face
the...
to face the Lane Train. Man, I don't know. I think this game is going to be spectacular, and there's going to be so much hoopla around it. Now, the only downfall, it's not early in the season. It's late in the season. November 6th It's the final month of the season, but I don't know. I've got this one circled as one to watch. And if Liberty, particularly if they beat up on their league like they have been, I mean, hell, they may be undefeated going into this matchup. Matt Corral at Ole Miss, he may be the best quarterback in the SEC. They could go on a real run. I mean, imagine if this is a top 10 showdown, which, you know, I don't know if Liberty can climb that high in the rankings, but Ole Miss certainly can if they upset a team or two on their list. So I think this is going to be another really, really entertaining game.
Well, I still have Clemson and the Georgia game higher, all right, Mike. But
okay,
if you let's say you're one of those that don't get on Twitter that often, maybe once or twice a year, this is the week you want to, because the memes are going to be on fire down there. I'm telling you, the jokes are writing themselves as we speak. There's people working on videos that are going to sit on it until this week. I'm telling you, how many hospital bed photos are going to be floating around that week, Mike? They're going to be all over the hooker jokes. I can hear it already. So, yes, the jokes write themselves. I'm looking forward to this one just to see the material that comes from it.
Mm-hmm. All right, number one on my list, Shane. LSU at UCLA in the season opener. A beautiful home-and-home matchup here. And I think this is going to be a real test for the Tigers. I mean, they certainly should win this game, but you're going all the way across the country. You're playing in, you know, probably the most iconic stadium outside of the SEC in all of college football, playing in the Rose Bowl. Maybe it's just the fact that I used to live next door to the Rose Bowl, but it's always got a special place in my heart. I cannot wait to see LSU and how many fans. I think it's going to be a purple and gold take over the Rose Bowl type matchup facing UCLA. That's number one on my list. That's a game that I'm most looking forward to next season of the non-annual SEC game. So thoughts on that one?
No, this is a good one. This one, something we talked about, we've talked about a couple of times. So I just like it because it's kicking off the season. It's a home and home, like you said. I hate that we're going out there to start with, because they're probably only going to allow 5,000 people in that building, you know, but it's okay. 4,000 of them are going to be LSU fans, and they're going to go there. They're going to get their job done early, and just, I don't know. It's just, I love when the brand goes out there. Everybody, when you can go in the state of California and come away with a victory.
Absolutely, man. So, I mean, I cannot wait for each and every one of these games. But I thought I'd give you guys something, you know, something to think about here during this cold, cold off season. I don't know what it's like where you guys live, but here in Shane's obviously in East Tennessee. I'm in Nashville. The roads are froze, and I can't leave the house. It's black ice everywhere. Cars skidding all over the road. So, I mean, I'm kind of trying to keep it warm here, just talking some SEC football.
That's right, man. Eat all the, what do they call it, the milk sandwiches, all those that you can handle this week. And we don't, it's weird, we're not getting any. I think we're getting rain all week. But, yeah, the rest of the country feels like they've getting a little bit of snow. So be safe out there. But I am looking forward to football, because this was the first Sunday without it in a long time, Mike. And it's tough. I even turned on the NASCAR today. I watched a couple laps. Then it started raining, and they couldn't do it anymore. You know, I mean, is it a sport if you can't play in the rain? I don't know. People ask me all the time. I think if you can't go in the rain, then it's not really a sport. But it's talking season, man. It's list season. It's interview season. So we're going to get some stuff out for you. We'll have plenty of material. And obviously, if anything pops open, we're going to jump on here first to let you guys know.
Hey, that's going to do it for this one. If you made it this far, of course, if you wouldn't mind giving us that 5-star written review on the Apple Podcast app, that really goes a long way towards growing the show and just our way of saying thanks. And if you've done that already and you haven't gotten a koozie, send a screenshot over to thatsecpodcast@gmail.com. We really do appreciate each and every one of those. But hey, buddy, that's all I got. You got anything before we hop off here?
Yeah, just one thing, man. We got a lot of koozies floating around. We got a lot of gear floating around. If you got a shirt on or a sweatshirt on or you got a cold beer sitting in that koozie, send a picture of it to us on Twitter. We'll be sure to retweet it, man. Woman, I mean, we've got all kinds of fans out there, and we appreciate everybody's support, and we'd love to send those pictures out. So if you got a cold beer, and you got it in that koozie, just send it on over.
Yeah, every time the company we work with, it's called TeePublic. You can find that link in the podcast show notes. But every time they got a sale, we'll be telling you guys all about it. $13 shirts, can't beat that, man. And these are high quality SEC shirts. You can get them in your team colors. So, yeah, just want to say thanks to everybody that's been buying those. Really do appreciate that as well. But, hey, that's going to do it, buddy. Thanks for joining me as always. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We'll catch you on the next one.
All right. See you guys. Go ball. All right, well, buddy, my pizza's here, so I'm going to jump off.